Yeah, again, back to, you know, J. Jonah Jameson. I mean, like, you know, his performance in the first movie was a little over the top, and it does seem like, you know, it's very much in, and Ted Raimi. we saw in The Grudge, which was.
I mean, could that be a more different role than this?
Yeah.
Ted Raimi, and then Bill Nunn is the other reporter here.
It's just better writing for his part.
Yeah.
His style of acting work.
Yeah. Don't mention Julia Roberts in the thong, we'll be fine. I'm just, that's dumb.
That's great.
Look, and then we'll laugh again, Jesus.
Are you serious?
Now we have
some more really great production design.
Yeah.
This
is
when I was watching how they, you know, put that set together in the documentary, which is, I mean, I was just amazed.
How many months did the actors take off for the crew to build it? I know it's mentioned in the.
They said it took like 15 weeks to build that that set, essentially in a warehouse, but they call the stage.
And this is really one of the scenes that sells it for me. His relationship with these arms.
And the fact that the arms have personalities of their own is just stunning.
Now, Brian, we should touch on the music, because, I mean, there was a good portion of this that was not written by Danny Elfman.
Yeah, at the last minute, for some reason.
Because this is a really wonderful cue right here. This is a really wonderful cue right here, and that was the thing. I remember, like, going home and listening to the soundtrack after seeing the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that was when it first came up between you and I, that, you know, I was like, I was, you know, because I love this one particular cue from the film, Brian, but I didn't hear it on the soundtrack. And that's when you mentioned that the soundtrack was pure Danny Elfman, where there were a good portion of the cues that were written by John Debney and
Christopher Young, who scored The Gift for Sam Raimi, as well as the Grudge remake.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this cue is on the soundtrack, so I think this is Elfman.
Yeah, I think. Well, I mean, the Doc Ock theme is Elfman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he, you know, I'm not exactly sure what happened. You know, we don't know. We probably will never know.
Well, I mean, look at everything that was on Elfman's plate for 2005. First of all, I mean,
he's got Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Corpse Bride. So it's like, it could just be because of the fact that he had to get started on those.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, you know.
Remember, you mentioned the comparison between Willem Dafoe and Alfred Molina. You know, that's kind of the scene that really makes me because, I mean, there's sort of a character talking to himself, you know, evil guy talking to himself in the first one. That's, that was probably the most painful moment in the first movie for me. Was
one of
them,
scene. Definitely.
And that scene right there was just miles ahead of the one in the first one. I mean, miles ahead.
I like that she accidentally hits him.
Yeah.
Kicks him.
Rosemary Harris, she just makes you feel so sorry for her, you know, with her acting, you know, because she's always so positive. But she, she's an old woman, but she plays the part of an old woman perfectly.
Yeah.
You know. Awesome.
And, another reason I was really curious to see The Gift to see, like, where these actors I'd known from these movies were placed, and, like, I really did like the one scene with Rosemary Harris in The Gift as well. That was, She only has one scene
in that movie. She's in that movie?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't remember that? She has one scene with...
Ron, keep in mind it's been several years since I've seen The Gift.
Oh, I know. All of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that'll work.
Great shot right
there. Always works with
throwing three guys
nemesis. Nemesis.
Yeah, you could tell where the storyboard shots were in there.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that was a storyboard comic book shot that we just saw right there.
And then we have some of this...
Great Spider-Man wit.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, like, this is all pure comic book banter right here. But, like, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why am I not groaning? When I hear one of these lines, and it's
and Spider-Man itself is always, you know, Peter Parker's always had kind of the cheesiest superhero lines ever. You know, it's in the comic book, it's in the cartoon. You know, he's always had sort of the cheesy lines, but to be able to make that work in like an action film, you know, it's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Now this is,
I mean, just some really fantastic action.
Yeah,
sequences. The movie's not all action sequences. You know, there's a whole lot of character development. But when they move into an action sequence, it's actually pretty sweet.
I mean, this is what, like the second one in 50 minutes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, second big one, really.
Right. Yeah, I mean, unless you include the pizza delivery at the beginning,
right?
I mean, you know,
and him throwing the car the first day.
But
I always really. This was something where it's like, I always...
She's hot, too.
Yeah, but it's just such a horribly cheesy shot.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. We need that?
I liked how the filmmakers were touching on the commentary, which I didn't really notice until I was listening to it, that they really wanted to get more of a sense of vertigo in this.
Yeah.
Which I thought they achieved beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Just it really steps the action.
Stanley.
Just for a second.
Oh, great cue.
Yeah,
great cue.
It's
like
generating
movies
right there.
God,
looking fantastic.
This is just wow.
Looking great. I think they used Alias Wavefront to do a lot of their stuff.
Oh. Shit.
And, you know, like, again, being able to suspend your disbelief for this, I mean, touching on that.
Yeah.
You know, when you, like, you know, the sequence at the end, the sequence at the end of the movie, like, where, you know, Spider-Man's like, Got the kids on a trolley in one hand, and has Mary Jane, and you know, it's like, why did I believe that?
Well, I don't know.
You know, that was the thing, though. I didn't. I was like, I just didn't. Dave, just help me out here, Dave.
What?
Like, just did you not have a hard time believing that stuff at the end? Like,
it was all right. I mean, it was just it seemed a little too action filmy, you know. But it was all right.
Matrix shot.
But I mean, like, you know, I just didn't believe a majority of the action in the first movie, and I believe every moment of this, just because I don't know why.
Some of the best shots that they have in here are when, you know, Spider-Man like does some sort of flip and he like lands on the wall, you know, and those shots always just look great.
Rosemary Harris did that, didn't she?
Yeah.
She's like 78,
I
don't think she's 70.
Is she not 70 yet?
She's elderly,
that's what they mentioned in the documentary. Maybe
they were wrong. No, I'm not saying the documentary was wrong. I just don't remember being that old. But no, I mean, you know, going back to like the last sequence in particular in the first movie, not the fight. I like the fight in the alley. in between the Green Goblin and Spider-Man. I thought that was, I generally believe, like, you know, the stuff with, like, him, like, with the trolley, you know, and the Mary Jane, and just, like, you know, I'm sorry, and I apologize again for not being articulate enough to, you know, verbalize in the way that would, you know, win everyone over, but, so,
Do we need to do a second commentary?
Maybe. Maybe we do.
I mean, you're talking so much about it. It's like, I kind of feel like we need to just take this out, put in the first one, and do another one.
And,
I'm just saying.
James Franco, you know, again, you know, overplaying it a little bit.
Yeah. It's like, if there's, like, a weak link in the performances, I kind of think he's it. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Oh, man.
Wow.
He's not going to go well for him later on in the night.
Nope.
No, he's going to sleep on the couch.
Football on the moon.
I take it that this is another character from the comic book.
Yeah, I was about to ask. I mean, James' son...
Doesn't he become Lizard?
I could have sworn that it was Peter's. I could have sworn it was the Professor. Oh,
it's been so long.
I like the drawing.
I know.
Music
I era. Mean, yeah.
Nice little moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure it's the Professor. The teacher from.
Whoops. Missed again.
Yeah, I guess they're really doing well. Oh.
I know, it's like, this is, like, this is, like, worst day ever thing. The bad guy gets away.
Disturbance.
Disturbance crap. That just doesn't work.
But he sells it. Toby sells it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you know, there was I read an article in the Entertainment Weekly that about how there really aren't any like new movie stars anymore. Mm. How, you know, all the big movie stars are the ones that were big like 20 years ago, and they mentioned the fact that, and I was trying to figure out where I would put this into this movie, the fact that. For a while, it was speculated because of a back injury that Tobey Maguire sustained on Seabiscuit that he wouldn't be able to do the second one, and there was talk of, like, Jake Gyllenhaal, who's best known for Donnie Darko and The Day After Tomorrow.
Not to mention dating Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, taking on the role of Peter Parker, and... You know, they pose the question, it's like, would it really matter to the success of the franchise if that switch took place?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, just like you can't see anybody other than Christopher Reeve doing Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Just as, I think...
Hugh Jackman
doing Wolverine as X-Men.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton is still... has been the best Batman.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot see anybody other than Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially Gyllenhaal, because, I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal is talented. He doesn't have that charisma, just natural charm that Tobey Maguire just makes so effortless.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think we mentioned in the first commentary, you know, Tobey Maguire does a lot of acting, like with his eyes.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, being able to bring that across, you know, as Peter Parker, because I mean, there's a lot of scenes where he's not talking, he's kind of zooming in on him.
Yeah.
You know, and they can do that because of Tobey Maguire, you know, and that kind of makes the movie work.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just a shot like that, you know, just a shot like that where it's like, you clearly see the dejection on his face.
Right.
I don't think Gyllenhaal could pull it off. he's a very good, intense actor, as Donnie Darko shows. He doesn't, but for, he just, I don't want to say he can't be charming, but he just, he doesn't have that sort of charisma mm-hmm. that you need in Peter Parker. He doesn't have that sort of oddball, he doesn't have that oddball charm
mm-hmm.
that you need for Peter Parker, and Tobey Maguire has it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, would Spider-Man 2 have suffered financially if, at the box office, if Jake Gyllenhaal had been Peter Parker? You know, there's a possibility it wouldn't have. But I think it wouldn't have been as well received either. Mm. I mean, I think, you know, it's not to...
Well, you know what's great about...
Of course, I'm forgetting about the fact that Sam Raimi could probably get a really good performance out of Jake Gyllenhaal. He's a really good director, but I don't think it wouldn't have been the same movie.
Well, you know, you're touching on, you know, how, you know, well-received this was financially. But, you know, again, like, you know, when I've talked to people yeah. about this, they're like, you know, well, it was okay. I didn't quite, you know. But the great thing about this one was that the critics got it.
Yeah.
I love, yeah. you know, just like Roger Ebert's already said this is the best superhero movie he's ever seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm not too far behind him. I mean, I'm...
No, I think it is.
You know.
I think it's the best superhero movie ever.
Well, it's certainly... I mean, that's the thing.
You're a huge fan of the original Superman.
And not to mention, you know, but that's the thing, though. That's the thing.
Which is great.
It's such a broad thing to say. That's why I'm sketchy on it. It's such a broad, outlandish thing to like say. This is the best superhero movie ever. It's certainly up there, and I'm very partial to this movie. And I'm just glad that the critics got it. That was very gratifying.
Right. Again, I mean, we're going. I mean, it's semantics because of the fact that it's like, you know, it's everybody's right to have feel something different about a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody told me that they thought Blade was the best superhero movie ever made, I would debate it.
Right.
But if they could convince me that why they feel like it is other than like, oh, that movie was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they could convince me beyond that, I would be like, okay, yeah. you know, it's your opinion.
I think it's one of the better introductions of this.
But that, I mean, that just, you know, but like, you know, Brian, after you and I discussed it at length, you know, you were able to respect my opinion of the first Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Just as I was able to, you know, come to respect your opinion of the first Spider-Man. And
I always respected your opinion of the first Spider-Man. I, mm-hmm. you know, I guess I just enjoyed arguing with you about it. But just in case we were forgetting what exactly this movie is about.
Zoom in on the grass first.
So that's the thing, though. I mean, this movie, the number of, you know, just the quiet moments in this movie are just, you know, compared to, you know, the number of quiet movies, maybe quiet moments in other action summer flicks. Mm-hmm. I mean, just.
Well, it's the quiet moments that make great movies.
Mm-hmm.
I become more convinced with that the more movies I see.
And my personal my favorite quiet moment of them all is yet to come, but this is a wonderful moment right here.
Yeah, it is.
With Uncle Ben.
Cliff Robertson reprising his role as Uncle Ben.
And I kind of like that. Like, you know, it's very reflective of the last scene between the two of them in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tobey Maguire's wearing the same clothes, and you know they're in the classic, and it's. It's mirroring the last scene between them, you know, before the death scene in the first movie, and it's very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I do find this pretty poignant.
Yeah, I was watching this movie for the first time, and I remember just really starting to be amazingly moved by the movie, like, not far into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay,
well, that first scene with Aunt May when she's, like, trying to give him the money, I think
that was the moment, too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is a good movie. I was like,
know. And like I said in my review, and Dave mentioned it before, it's like, you know, everything that was good about the first, everything that was bad about the first movie is better here. As to say nothing of the fact that everything was that was good in the first movie is better here. Mm-hmm. And of course, that just makes for overall a better movie. Yeah.
Well, that image is like right out of the comic book, though.
This glorious. Is hilarious.
This is glorious.
I mean, we're like, looking at like almost a completely new movie right now.
Seriously.
I mean, just and you know, I mean, this is this montage. I mean, the way it's shot. You know, of course, the music. Mm-hmm. You know, and
yeah.
And well, again, going back to like the use of what little pop music that was used,
right, it was
just
but, I mean,
freaking
this
brilliant.
This is
great.
You can't put this in comparison to other music
songs.
I mean, this is a classic.
Right, this is a classic. Right.
But I'm saying, like, just the use of songs in general. You know, when you don't use score and you want to, you know.
I mean, if they had used the score right here, it wouldn't be nearly profound as it is.
I always love this.
You punk!
Anybody tell me what movie this is originally from?
No! No! Butch Cassidy's Sundance Kid.
There you go.
Which, I mean, it was one of those things where it's on the tip of my tongue. But, like, I wasn't expecting that. Like, oh, I know what movie this song is from. I mean, come on. What I like is...
I was just watching an episode of Buffy recently where she's talking... Where she's talking about
the freeze frame.
Oh,
frame.
God.
Yes. That's just hilarious. I mean, a totally different movie. That's
but
it's brilliantly done. I mean, what other sort of action
exactly
you're gonna see that that little segment
exactly
in, you know?
But I was just watching an episode of Buffy where Buffy's in college and she's telling Willow about this, you know, what her idea of, like, you know, her college was originally going to be. It was, you know, montage where it's like she falls asleep on her glasses and all this, just basically a lot of the same stuff that we're seeing in that montage right there. It's like, yeah, everything's good. So the fact that he came to the play actually doesn't really help the fact that her performance in the play.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, and, you know, I've been through all sorts of relationship issues, and I've actually kind of been in this sort of situation right here, and you know, this is actually, you know, pretty real as to how things work, and, you know, even though she's, like, with another guy, well, you know, she's still attached enough to him to, you know, have an effective performance and still thinking about him, what have you.
That's
just more sort of the unconventional type of relationship stuff. I mean, that could be like in a totally different movie, purely about relationships, you know. That's sort of some of the unconventional relationship stuff that you don't kind of expect, you know, in a superhero action movie. But again, another good scene between Tony McGuire and Christian Jones. And, you know, just, again, miles ahead of the first one in terms of...
Chemistry. Yeah, you know, another really cornball line. You know, I saw you getting married on a hilltop. And, you know, it works.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty hilarious that, you know, he said we could take up where we left off. And she's like, you know, we never got on. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
She's got a point.
Where exactly was that?
Still wants to do. Don't worry about it. It's not gonna be happy. It's all right.
Yeah. So, Dave, I remember you came to you went to see this, and I talked to you like shortly after. You didn't seem to be overly enthusiastic about it. I mean, you know, you mentioned some stuff that you like, but I mean,
right? Yeah, I mean, you know,
you haven't really
think...
mentioned some of that stuff that you may not have liked about it.
You know, and, I mean, I'm sure I don't, like, remember half of what I didn't like. you know, but now that I've seen it again, it's actually grown on me a lot. you know, and before, some of the visual effects,
uh-huh.
even though I think they're amazing, still quite aren't as impressive and over the top as I think they could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, you know, I warmed up to this film a lot mm-hmm. more, you know.
Oh my God, it's a pop culture reference and it actually works.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of entertaining, but...
No, that's the thing.
Okay, here's something I wanted to sort of mention earlier. Do you think that Bill Nunn's character knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man?
Well, you know, that goes back to, like, whether or not you think Aunt May knows Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
that's true.
That whole thing is, like... Which... We're coming to that scene shortly, where you know you really do start to think. Well, does she know or mm-hmm. does she not? But you know, hopefully that'll be something that'll be explored more in the third. You know, speaking of the third movie, that's inevitable. The inevitable, you know, third movie. I'm not gonna hold my breath for a good third movie. I'm just not. Mm. I mean, I. I realized that the genius behind the second one. I realized, you know, the fortune behind, you know, getting Sam Raimi to, like, you know, be as passionate about the franchise as he is. You know, like, I mean, he has nothing. I mean, yeah, he has, like, you know, the Evil Dead remake coming up and, like, the Evil Dead 4. Mm-hmm. All these things that he has up in the air. This is the thing that he's the most passionate about, mm-hmm. it seems, as if, you know, when you listen to him or you read interviews. And I'm just, you know...
Yeah, just right, he's got The Grudge, too, coming up,
yeah.
too.
You know, he's got all these things up in the air, but, like, you know, the thing he's the most excited about is, you know, Spider-Man 3 mm-hmm. and the possibilities in there. I'm going to wait for Spider-Man 3 to come out before I really, you know... just because of, like, you know, my feelings of the first one that remain to this day, you know, the villain we had in this one was so great. I'm not sure whether or not we'll be able to top it. As great as I expect Thomas Hayden Church to be. I'm just
I feel you. I mean, you know, I just think it's gonna be hard to.
It's gonna be hard.
Some of the really good moments in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's gonna be hard to top Doc Ock. Right. It's gonna be hard to just top this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm just not gonna. I mean, that's just something I was really anxious to, like, mention here, is that I'm gonna shell out my $8 just like every other, you know, Joker. But you know, like, I'm just not gonna hold my breath for the third movie. You know, until mm-hmm. until you know opening day, and I'm gonna be there with, you know, with you guys, obviously. But you know. But, you know, again, this is going to be a really hard story to top. You know?
Yeah,
it's going to be a hard movie in general to top.
I agree with that.
Yeah. We're not even top, just repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
This is probably my favorite quiet scene
is it?
In the entire movie, just because of the fact that I love the daring and the courage that Peter Parker seems to just come just seems to come out of him when it comes to telling Aunt May about this, because obviously it's a very difficult thing for him to tell her.
Oh, this is a great moment.
In the documentaries when I was watching the one on editing, the guy mentioned that they kind of didn't do too many cuts during this quiet moment when you would think that, you know, they would, because mm-hmm. they kind of just left it on Tobey Maguire. And he did such a great job, you know, that it was more profound with him mm-hmm. just sitting there and telling the story rather than cutting to Aunt May or cutting back to a scene with both of them sitting, you know.
Although the few cuts to Aunt May that there are,
right,
spectacular.
Right.
I mean, just this is my favorite Quiet moment. It's still coming up, but this is a wonderful moment.
It's like, yeah, his life officially sucks.
I mean, his life is just
couldn't get any worse than that.
I mean, I think it all comes down to letting that kid get beat up in the alley.
Yeah.
Like, that was rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Now let's see how much further we can take you.
You know, something else I've been wanting to touch on, hopefully you guys will be able to, you know, be on the same page with me as far as it's concerned, but, like, we see so many comic book movies, you know, like, where the main villain's main story revolves around, like in X-Men, like, you know, the main villain's story revolves around the machine, you know, the big machine, you know, like, you know, or like the really outlandish plot, like, you know, like Lex Luthor in the first movie, you know, it was like, you know, some kind of real estate scandal, and it depends on the movie whether or not you are willing to buy it.
Yeah,
you know, and actually accept that as the main source of the conflict.
And there have been several that have not done that.
No, the first X-Men being one of them. In my opinion, the first X-Men being one of them. Like the villain wanting this machine to work. You know, like, you know, like.
Well, for me, I bought that. I mean, I'm referring to, like, Catwoman and Spawn.
Oh yeah, yeah, but like,
I mean, I didn't see that.
Batman, Robin.
Oh god, oh god, yeah. Like, no, like, yeah. if you don't buy that, you know, you don't buy the conflict, you know.
Yeah, right.
And you know, that was the thing. I mean, I really didn't buy the first X-Men, but I do buy it here.
Yeah,
and that's just a testament to this movie right here. Like, it's all about the machine, but like, you know, that for some reason is the. Is the reason for, you know, a lot of the, but yeah, okay, back to this. This is a great scene.
Yeah. I wouldn't tell that to him.
Yeah,
I
would
tell him to obviously a crazy man.
Yeah.
Well, like, I love the, you know, the thunder and the lightning and just, oh, the scene's great. The scene is great and surround sound. I mean, I've been bragging about my surround sound system I got recently, and I'm just, you know, just the, like, you know, like, just sound, the sound moments in this movie are spectacular. The sound design, I mean, which did they get the Oscar for that, Brian? I know they were nominated. Sound design and
no sound editing went to The Incredibles,
right?
Although I felt like it should have gone to this one.
Mm-hmm. Although The Incredibles was pretty deserving.
I mean, The Incredibles was pretty brilliant.
But, like, you know, but there was a really wonderful sound mix on this.
Yeah.
This movie. I mean, just watch this movie with surround sound sometime. It's worth it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. This is pretty much rock bottom. That was.
No, I feel like the anime scene seemed to have sold it, but.
Yeah, I mean, here he's actually saving.
Well, I mean, you
even
know,
he's not using.
Well, like, you're talking about the headline, right?
No, actually, I'm talking about like the basically kick in the crotch that he gets at the end of this scene, where it's like he actually is trying to do something right, and then it's like, no.
Oh. Are you talking about the guy he doesn't save?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, all right, okay. I did something right, and then it's like, no. I mean, he still did something right, but something just happened to go wrong. And it's like, yeah. Not the wisest idea, but whatever.
Yeah, that's not as far as the idea. It's just like the firemen have already exited the building.
Yeah.
Probably a bad idea if you still being there.
I was referring to kicking the door down, letting the fire breathe a little bit more, but, you know.
trying to save the day, so. Yeah, I remember seeing the illustrations that they did for this, because, you know, they talked about, you know, as a pre-visualization technique, you know, they did a ton of illustrations.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting to see all the different, you know, looks that they went through.
Mm-hmm.
For some of these specific scenes until they kind of finally found the look, you know, that they actually liked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, I can just imagine how tough it is to bring all that together, you know, and to evolve, you know, from those initial pictures to, you know, something that you like and something that actually works on screen. You know, it's just so much work that goes into this. But then to make it all work and have it be a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, I'm just continuously amazed.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, I do remember you mentioning that you weren't as impressed with this one at first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm, it's really gratifying to see you, like, you know, enjoying it now, but,
right.
I am curious to, like, do you remember exactly what you weren't crazy about?
Yeah. I mean, for me, maybe it was just, yeah, I'm not quite sure. I mean, yeah.
Okay, this is my favorite quiet moment right here. I mean, with the girl coming in and like, but this. I'm sorry, Dave.
No, you're wrong.
I apologize, but like, this is my favorite quiet moment right here. Just like him talking to himself, like that kind of like that Peter Parker kind of, you know, inner, you know, and then I just because what I think what I love in particular about this moment is just because like this girl is not. This girl has nothing to do with the rest of the movie, other than you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't know. I just find this moment particularly poignant, just because of that. Just like this girl has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, but I apologize, Dave. Go ahead, because but you get where I'm coming from. Why I like this scene so much.
Right.
I just love this scene. I love this scene to death.
Right, and you know this again, you know, a slightly unconventional scene.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't typically see in a you know action type film. She's relatively cute.
But that's the thing. That's a great thing about this moment. Is like she has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. But you know she just brings something to it. She offers. I don't know for some reason it seems like. This is the turning point for him.
Yeah, I mean, it really is like the first good thing that's really happened to him since he sort of gave up being Spider-Man.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think this is a wonderful scene. I think that, I love him asking himself, it's like, what am I supposed to do? Because, like, I think, you know, I know I've ask myself that at times, and you know, I'm sure I'm probably not alone in this room and thinking that. Now, her speech coming up is like the one piece of dialogue I'm just not a huge fan of.
Really?
In this. I mean, I get why it's there. I get, you know, in the words, you know, I like the words, but it's kind of like him, you know, you're hitting the point a little too hard in that. I mean, she delivers them really well,
right.
But it's like, just in case you're having a few more doubts... See, here's why the world needs heroes.
We also needed the scene between the two of them just to reconcile what.
No, yeah. I completely agree with that. Overall, I don't have really fundamental issues with the scene, especially what we just saw, the sort of reconciliation between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Her accepting the fact that what it took real courage for him to tell her what he did.
Right. But I totally feel you. And I think if Rosemary Harris delivery wasn't so spectacular.
Oh yeah.
Of those lines.
Yeah.
That you know the scene wouldn't have worked.
Mm-hmm.
But her delivery is pretty darn good. So.
So, I mean, again, it's like, you know, I appreciate, you know, I understand why it's in the movie, but it's like,
right,
just hitting the point a little too hard.
Right, right.
It's like, yeah.
Which makes that more of a bit more of a writing issue
mm-hmm.
than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But we did pass over a really entertaining, fun line when Peter asks, you know,
where's comic books?
Where's my comic book?
I mean, I'm loving this movie.
Oh, I am too.
I'm loving this movie.
I am too.
It's
one of my favorite movies from last year.
Oh yeah, without question. But Dave, I mean, I was asking earlier, and I rudely interrupted you.
I think I was just probably then concentrating a bit too much on like the spectacle of Spider-Man and wanting to be wowed, you know, by Spider-Man rather than appreciating some of the character moments that were in there. So, you know, I wasn't wowed coming out of it. It was more of a sequel. I mean, that's what I kind of like about this movie. You know, the beginning of it is you know, shocking enough such that, you know, it's good, it works good as the beginning of a movie, mm-hmm. you know, but it's Spider-Man kind of delivering pizzas, you know, so
yeah.
so it comes in like starting off as a sequel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I was looking for a little bit more wow factor just overall from the whole movie rather than appreciating it as being sort of a sequel movie, you know.
Yeah.
And appreciating a lot of the character moments that are in it.
It is. It's a very unconventional sequel,
right,
in a lot of aspects.
I will say, going back to what I was saying about Rosemary Harris's speech, I do like that very last part where she basically relates being a hero on a very personal level, what the satisfaction it gives you,
right,
gives the person who's the hero,
right,
you know, within their life. I do really like that part. You know, the rest of it, you know, whether you need it or not, you know, is up for debate. But